Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. Today's guest is prolific author Kristen Proby. In this episode, we chat about her writing process, her books, and what's coming up soon. Now let's go to the interview. Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Kristen Proby. I am a contemporary romance author, written about 50 books at this point. And yeah, I live in Montana. That's about it. That's all.
So how are you writing in the pandemic? How's that going for you?
You know, it was tough at the beginning. I had so many grand plans to get ahead this year on my writing, and then the pandemic hit. And so in most of March and April, I didn't write a word because I was just too consumed with the news. And, you know, I think we were all just concerned and worried. And then about May hit and I was like, I have deadlines. I still have to publish books. I can't just be worried every single day about getting sick. So I kind of hit the ground running in May and I haven't stopped since because I was behind then. So much for getting ahead. That didn't work out.
Okay. I feel like the pandemic hit at different places. Like for me, it just brought in, like, I overload on podcast recording, and then I was like, holy shit, like I got too many, and I was like, what's going on? So it just, like, it hits different people in different places, like, you know, the writer's block, I couldn't read, so it's just like it was a lot. So
yeah, I hear you.
Awesome. So what was your journey to get that first book published?
So my first book published in November of 2012. I had been writing romance though for close to probably 15 years at that point, and I just hadn't been published. That was kind of the time of, actually it wasn't kind of, it was the time of no self-publishing quite yet. Mm-hmm. When I was starting out. And so, you know, I had queried agents and editors and people and they passed. Which is fine because I had a lot of learning to do. My writing wasn't fantastic in the beginning. But then in 2012, I have a cousin who published a horror novel by himself. He self-published. And when I saw him post on Facebook that he was publishing a book, I said, wait, what's this? How are you doing this? And he walked me through the steps and I published my first book in November.
That's amazing. And you have published more than 50 books now? You've written more than that, but you probably had, published 50 books. So
yeah, so my 50th book releases this month. Spells is number 50.
Oh my gosh. So yeah. Do you write all at once, or like, do you write multiple stories at once, or you write one story at a time? Like, how's that?
I really wish I could write more than one book at a time. I really, you know, there are so many authors that can work on one project in the morning and then take a lunch break and work on something else in the afternoon. And I just can't. I've tried it several times. I'm not that focused, I guess. So no, I can only write one project at a time.
It's so good. You're still writing, which is amazing. So
still writing.
Yeah. And you're a hybrid author. So you've been published traditionally as well as like indie and like independent. What's the pros and cons of each way?
Well, how long do we have for your podcast today?
It's fascinating. I love chatting about this whole process because it's like, it's a brand new world.
Sure. So on the indie side, pros and cons. I think the cons are that, you know, the expense for everything is upfront by the author. So I pay for my editor, I pay for my cover, I pay for literally everything. is out of pocket. But the pros to that are I have complete control of everything from start to finish. I pay for the editors, I choose them. I love having control of the project. I especially love having control of the artwork on the covers and such, because it's just that creative, more creative side to the project. And I just really enjoy that. Whereas when you work with a publisher, I was really lucky in that my publishers always asked for my opinion on my covers. And if I absolutely hated something, they would change it for me. Mm-hmm. Most authors are not that lucky. Most authors, you just get what you get when it comes to a cover. And, you know, I didn't, of course, have a say in who my editor was. I didn't employ those people. So sometimes, like my copy editors, for example, sometimes the copy editor and I didn't see eye to eye on some things. However, my editors, the ones that purchased the books from my agent, were always really wonderful and good to work with. I enjoyed being able to bounce the story off somebody who's in the business and has their fingers in what's popular right now and what readers are enjoying. I didn't enjoy when I would hand in the story and they would send it back to me and say, "We hate your hero. We hate everything about it. You have to change it all." And as an indie, I would say, "No, I'm not changing a thing." But I can't do that when an editor, when a publishing house has purchased the book, it's no longer my book. They own it. So I have to change it. Now, they usually will say to you, "This, of course, is your story and we want you to be happy with it. But we have to compromise here because we don't like where you took the story with the hero. And you have to rework it." Whereas if it was just my project independently, probably wouldn't have reworked the story.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's fascinating. I think it's like, you know, it's a business and it's like, you know, as an indie, you have the complete control of the story and you can push buttons that you probably, a traditionally publisher may not let you push those buttons, you know, or go that edge.
Oh, for sure.
You know.
Absolutely. In the beginning of my traditional publish contracts, I remember the original editor that I had. She, I don't think, enjoyed the more steamy contemporary romance. I think she liked a lot of more fade to black situations in books. And my books don't usually fade to black. So she would send me notes back that would say, "Yes, we get it. They're hot for each other. Why do we have to see the sex again?" And I'm like, "But my readers enjoy that. Like, yeah, that's why I've sold so many books." So, yeah, it was interesting.
Yes, I think there's a whole big romance community that's like, "Please give me more steam. The more the merrier," you know?
Yeah, and I think if readers don't enjoy the steam, they just kind of skip that part and move on. So,
what is your process, writing process like? Do you follow an outline or do you see where it sort of leads you?
I don't usually have an outline. I do usually always know where it's going to start and where it's going to end. So I have to know the ending before I can start the story so that I know how to maneuver the couple to get them to that end goal. And then the rest of it is kind of a day by day process. I have an assistant who I talk to on the phone every single day, and we talk plot. So what's going to happen today in the story? That works well for me. I do usually, though, when I start, I don't write down an outline, but I always kind of know some key things that are going to happen in the story. Mm-hmm. And then it's, how am I going to get them through to these key moments throughout the story?
That's fascinating. So how do you develop your characters? Like, how do they come to you? Do you brainstorm them beforehand, or do they just like appear? Like, what's the process like for character development?
When I start a series, I always know how many siblings, because I write family saga. So for any listeners out there that don't know, I write a family saga style, meaning each book in a series is a standalone and it's about one individual couple, but the couples throughout the series are linked usually by being relatives, so siblings, or maybe they're best friends. But that family dynamic is always there throughout each of the books. So when I start the series, I always know how many siblings there are in the family. So I know, okay, this family has five siblings. We're going to have five books. Mm-hmm. I don't always know who the match is going to be for all of the siblings until I get further into the series and I start introducing new characters. And then that'll work great in the next book. So-and-so can be with this person and it'll work out well. And then other times, you know, I'll plot a series and I know exactly what happens for every single couple throughout the entire series. And I know who their people are. The series I'm writing right now, I don't know that. So sometimes those people are introduced to me as I'm writing the stories.
That's a fun surprise. You'd be like, oh, this could be a good character.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're meeting them at the same time I am. And that's kind of fun.
So how do you organize yourself as a writer? Like, how do you keep track of all the series, all the siblings, all the different characteristics and stuff like that for the series?
I wish I could say that I am organized enough to have a series Bible and I can open it and see everything. I don't. So With Me in Seattle is 15 books in at this point, and all of it is just in my head. But if I need to figure, if I can't remember what color eyes did somebody have, or I can always just go back and reference previous books to see what I said before. And I have an awesome editor who's done most of them. So if I screw something up, she can be like, wait, no, he didn't look like that in the last book. So yeah. I need a series Bible. I don't have one.
And so let's talk about, you know, your 15 book series set in Seattle. Like, what was the, it's a long series, which is like, for people like me who love long series, it's like amazing. But I feel like for others, it can be like an intimidating process. Where was the, did you ever consider like you were thought it was going to be 15 books or?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. In fact, Come Away With Me was supposed to be a standalone. It wasn't supposed to be a series at all. And when I was writing Come Away With Me and I was introduced to her roommate, Jules, and I was like, oh, well, Jules could have a book. That would be fun. And then I met Jules's brothers and I was like, well, this is a no-brainer. So it turned into 8 books and then I was done. So I was finished with the series. I set it aside for a few years and readers would ask me constantly, are you going to write more? Are you going to write more? For about 3 years, my answer was no, I'm not going to write anymore. I'm so glad you guys enjoyed that series. It was a lot of fun to write. I'm so grateful for it. And I'm finished with it. Until finally it just occurred to me, I was like, why am I being so stubborn about this? There's no reason why I can't introduce cousins or friends. And why don't I? If the readers enjoy it so much and they enjoy spending time with those people, mm-hmm. I enjoy spending time with those people. They're fun. So yeah, I decided to pick it back up and I started with Stay With Me. I believe I published that in 2018. Mm-hmm. Yes, 2018. And since then I've published 8 more, which is crazy. Yeah. And I don't think I'll be finishing it anytime soon. I mean, right now I'm writing the O'Callaghans, in that world. And I should finish with that family probably by the end of next year. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have a new family. So.
I love this. I love that you create a world that readers can dive into and they can mm-hmm. actually just have like, they can spend months binging on that, you know, like.
Absolutely. And, you know, readers have said that it's like hanging out with good friends, that mm-hmm. every time I write a book and in the series and we see some of the couples from the earlier books, you know, especially Natalie and Luke or Nate and Jules, they're like, these are my friends and mm-hmm. I get to catch up with them. How are their kids doing? How are they, you know, how's everybody doing in the Montgomery family? So
yeah. And then you can eventually do kids. You can do the kids of the kids, you know.
No, we won't be doing kids. That is one thing I'll stand firm on because okay. Their children are still children in my head.
Okay.
So, but I think we're going to have plenty of other people to talk about for a while.
Okay. That sounds good. Let's talk about your paranormal. So that's you jump into a genre, your paranormal, and reviews are basically saying like, this is amazing. it's a spooky book. And so, but it's like, it's a good paranormal. What was the process like to jump in from contemporary to paranormal and then creating a world, like the whole process of world building?
Sure. So yes, paranormal is completely different for me from what any of the readers have seen anyway. Mm-hmm. I love to read it. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge lover of Nora Roberts' witches. Mm-hmm. She writes some of the best witch character storylines that I've ever read. She's just so good. I've been reading them for many years. And I've known that I wanted to write a trilogy about three sisters. Mm-hmm. And that trilogy has been in the works for 3 years, because I just had so many other projects to work on. I just didn't have time for a passion project. And that's truly what this is. I didn't expect it to sell well, and it doesn't. It doesn't sell great. But what I love about it is that those who do give it a shot love it. The reviews are fantastic. And they're spaced kind of far apart. So I'm releasing one a year at Halloween, because it's the appropriate time for something a little spooky and dark. Mm-hmm. And after Shadows released last year, all year this year, I heard from readers saying, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the next book. So that made me really happy. It was really fun to step out of my box and write something a little bit different, even though it is kind of dark, really dark. It was a great palate cleanser for me and just very different for me. Really love writing it. It also required a little bit of a different research process, because I'm not Wiccan. I don't have any friends who are. So I had to do, like, if somebody looked at my Google search, they'd be like, what the hell's happening with Kristen? We don't know. So, you know, I had to do a little bit of research, but it was really fun to let my imagination just kind of go crazy and make stuff up. I don't believe in past lives, but I've written the heck out of it, you know? It's really freeing to be able to do that.
I love this. And I love that you're releasing them in a spooky time, like Halloween. Like, it's a perfect spooky world. And like, I know Kelly from Boobies and Newbies picked book one for her book club, which is awesome. Like, you know, so there's like new author, like new ways for get discovery, you know, because those are the times where people are like looking for a paranormal and like spooky books.
Absolutely. Read. So. I agree. Yeah, it is a great time to pick it up. And also book one is currently free. So it just works out. It's a perfect time to pick it up and read it, and then hopefully want to pick up Spells as well.
Awesome. So a few of your books were recently optioned to become a film. What was the process like for that, you know, getting your books to movie?
Yeah, so two books have been picked up by Passion Flicks, which is a complete honor and kind of crazy. They approached me a few months ago. So readers had been asking them to make Come Away With Me for a while. Mm-hmm. And so finally the person who does their acquisitions read the book and she enjoyed it. And so she sent me a message and she said, hey, we would love to option Come Away With Me for a film. And I was like, what? Holy crap. Okay. And then she said, but I also went and picked up your entire Boudreaux series and I'm kind of obsessed. And so I cannot pass up on Easy Love. Like, I have to have it too. And I was like, okay, you know, twist my arm. So so they did both Come Away With Me and Easy Love. And that's really where we're at right now. We don't have any other timelines or any other information to share, but it's very exciting.
This is very exciting. Congratulations. That's a really exciting news, you know.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So what are some of your upcoming projects? What can we look for you? We have New Paranormal in October. It's coming out. Anything else at the end of the year or next year?
I do. I have a novella coming with 1001 Dark Nights on November 10th. And that one is called Shine With Me. So it's part of the With Me in Seattle series. And then I'll have a freebie anthology coming in December for the holidays, with some of my other author friends that are amazing, and it's brand new content, never released before. So that'll be fun. As we have more information on that, it'll be on my website or my newsletter. And and then we hit the ground running in January with more With Me in Seattle. And then in March, the first of my, it's a spin-off series from With Me in Seattle. It's With Me in Seattle Mafia. So we will have a mafia trilogy coming early next year.
Congratulations. I'm looking forward to the mafia.
Thank you. They're a little grittier too, a little, yeah, it's very mafia, you know? So, yeah, so fun.
That's awesome. So now let's go to a round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity for you to share with the audience what they should read next. What is your favorite genre?
My favorite genre is contemporary romance, probably followed closely with paranormal romance.
So who are your favorite authors? So authors you want to share with the audience that you check out?
Oh, absolutely. So Devney Perry is somebody that I discovered about 2 years ago, and I just love her. She her writing style is so clean and beautiful. I love her books. Catherine Cowles is somebody I recently discovered. I really enjoy her books. Nora Roberts is always a given. She's always number one on my list for people to read. Who else? Oh gosh. Monica Murphy is amazing. Love her. Rachel Van Dyken is fantastic. I mean, so many talented authors out there right now. It is such an exciting time to be a romance reader because we just have a wealth of talent publishing right now. It's really amazing.
Yes, it is. So tell us where you find you online.
You can find me on Instagram at Kristen Proby. You can go to kristenprobyauthor.com and it's always up to date, my website, and you can sign up for my newsletter there. I will not bombard you with a bunch of spam. It really is newsy stuff that I send out. And Facebook, Pinterest, all the usual places. I'm not usually on Twitter. I think it's a cesspool, but everywhere else you can find me.
That sounds good. Thank you, Kristen, for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships. to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.